from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And, you know, how do you enjoy prosperity? Well, you do all the stuff that got you there in the first place.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All the little things, you know, it's not some deal where you I'll get in trouble for this, I'm certain, but...
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Where you know, instead of playing hard and getting a first down and getting a play, then, you know, you want to sit behind a shade tree, eat a fish sandwich, and drink a lemonade with your fat little girlfriend.
And Brendan Sprague.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. Well, then, we marched it downfield.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
That will never not make me laugh. RIP to the pirate.
That's going with us wherever we end up.
Where are we going?
We're going to bigger markets, baby. I got big plans for this show.
Tell my wife that. I threw a hypothetical at her once. I was bored. I said, what if New York called and said, hey, we want Dirt Sprague Swag to come to New York.
There you go.
And we'll pay them all $1 million a year.
There you go.
And she goes, nope. Are you high? Are you high, lady? What's wrong with you? $1 million a year.
I could probably get,
We'll co-parent in a divorce. At that point, I'd have to make real tough decisions for sure. No, welcome back in the second hour of the radio program. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the show. Keith Smith will join us of Spotrac, front office sports, coming up at 8 a.m.
Very interested if that little Blazer signing...
Did it make him...
ripple some waters across the national NBA media.
Just a little alien guy in the Flintstones and the Jetsons. What was his name?
Oh, the Great Gazoo?
The Great Gazoo. I think we all feel like the Great Gazoo when our teams do little things like that, like boop, and then you try to get smarter than everybody else and figure out what it means. We'll talk with Keith Smith about that at 8. We got Statter Story to get to at 8:15. It's a weird one. We got three Statter Stories. Yes. You, me, you.
Yes.
Is how that order is going
to
go.
We figured that out. I said, you need me to double up. You need me to do the whole thing.
Yes, indeedy.
So,
if you missed the first hour of the show, you can always catch it at 1080thefan.com.
I'm chopping it up right now.
We have new podcasting posting ways that we have to do behind the scenes, is what I was told yesterday by the old
Jeff Frost. Yes, it'll be there.
We talked about a lot. We got to NFL Zigger Zag. Will Big Dicks save Jansen Beach? We talked about that. We talked about the MLB trade deadline. So, yeah, and we dabbled in the Blazer signing of Graham, and is it a nothing burger or is it a something burger? So we talked about all of that in the first hour of the show. A lot to get to in the second. I don't know when Dirt is back.
I was indicated to me tomorrow.
I love that you get indicated and I don't. My name is on the show, and I'm, like, not filled in at all.
I went and sought out information.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but I am not sure.
When I want information, I just go get it.
You demand it.
I go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was back today, and you told me this yesterday at 7:30 at night, and went, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great to find out at 7:30.
I'm surprised that you and your co-host don't talk.
Have you texted him before?
Well, like before.
He is a top three worst texter at the radio station.
I have my moments too, but that seems like something that it's like, okay, this I'm gone. I will be back on this day. Okay, fine.
I've texted every single person at the fan multiple times throughout the years. He is by a galaxy mile the worst texter of all time. And I'm not really a phone call guy. Like, hey, man. Just wanted to share my one text.
Yeah, you guys save the phone calls for when I, like I said, when I need information.
Sure.
I will get it. And if you see me calling you in the middle of the day at either means,
well,
I'm mad at you because I don't have it or something big might be happening.
Well, yesterday you texted. It took me a while to get back to you. I just happened to be
that's
like
okay.
Therapy Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I just threw that out.
It just, with the back-to-back four-hour shows last week.
No, I know.
It just feels like a lot. It feels like a lot is going on. Let's start the second hour with college football.
I'm curious what has your what got your attention here, college football related.
Well, Bill Conley did. Bill Conley is one of our favorite writers.
Yes.
Why we have him on the show all the time.
He can do that.
And I thought this was a really fun thing that he did. He did the top 25 players of the 21st century.
Okay.
So in his estimation, these are the best 25 football players in college football since 2000.
2000. All right.
Would you would you like to take a guess at who was in the top 3 of Bill Conley's list? And by the way, he gives explanations for every single one, all the way to 25 up to 1. Who are the 3 best college football players since 2000? You think, according to Bill Conley.
According to Bill Conley. Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow is not on that list.
Oh.
He is on the list. He's just not on
the
list.
He might have had the best season.
He absolutely has had the best season
probably
ever.
But in terms of career.
Burrow was 9th, by the way.
Okay.
And he puts Ohio State in there, which is a little odd because he didn't really do anything for Ohio State. But, you know, got to be fair. So Burrow's 9th, and he had the best season
He had the
ever.
Best single season of a quarterback.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
It's a long time you think about it. It's 2024,
yeah,
so you're going back a little ways.
Going back 25 years. All right, not to drag the segment out.
It's okay. I think there's going to be some interesting debate here.
I'm trying to think, is it all 3 quarterbacks?
Nope.
Okay. So who dominated?
I'll give you a clue.
Stuff?
It is 2 quarterbacks.
Okay.
2 of the 3 are quarterbacks.
Hurts? No.
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 Boy, you are struggling with this game
in
a way.
Yeah.
I've also been in that position several times where somebody throws something at you and you're like, wait, and you just kind of blank. Cam Newton is 3.
He had one season too.
You can make a real argument that actually is the best year, not maybe statistically because Burrow's numbers, but that Auburn team.
Oh, I know.
Several people have noted, like, not real NFL talent anywhere on that team. 2, this one surprised me. He has Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that I was trying to think, okay, who transferred places but had success before and after? And yes.
Baker at 2 shocked me.
Well, he was at A&M.
Yep.
And they had the ginormous.
Texas Tech.
I thought he was.
No. Tech guy. Kingsbury.
Okay.
And
well,
then
who
at Oklahoma.
Am I thinking of that. Oh, that was Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Johnny Manziel, not in the top 5.
No. No. Yes.
Baker Mayfield.
And then went to
2.
Oklahoma and lit it up.
Well, for 3 years.
Yeah.
He was amazing. Number one, and I put a poll question up on this on Twitter last night, at Dirt and Sprague. You can go vote on this one. And now look, not to get into Elon stuff. Elon wants to fix Twitter with his $44 billion.
Well, then sell it back to him.
I would agree with that. Also, how about you fix the little things that could matter a great deal, like allowing us to have more than four poll question responses?
Yes.
Let me have like six. If I had more than four, the poll question may have been a little better, but I posted the poll question up right now because his number one college football player since 2000, Bill Conley says, Grant's very own, Ndamukong Suh.
Wow.
Number one, the local guy. 2009 Lombardi winner, 2009 Outland Award, 2009 Bronco Nagurski Trophy, the AP College Football Player of the Year, an 09 Heisman finalist, 49 and a half career tackles for loss, 24 career sacks, 4 interceptions, and 2 tutties. He said, Sue enjoyed 3 good years before posting one of the most devastating individual seasons in college football history. Unblockable in 09. He had 7 tackles for loss against Texas in the Big 12 championship game, 4.5 sacks. He said it's one of the best performances ever. And he said, I realize we don't give Heismans to defensive players, but it is still utterly inexcusable. He didn't win the Heisman that year. Best player of the 2000s and one of the best of all time. So the poll question is up at Dirt and Sprague, and I posted it late last night, so you can go vote. And it basically is, of these four options, who is the best since 2000? Ndamukong Suh, Reggie Bush, Cam Newton, Tim Tebow. Debated about some of these guys, but Tebow had the 2 titles. Newton's year was so remarkable at Auburn.
Reggie Bush has
to be in this conversation.
You couldn't tackle him. Now, here's my question, and maybe this is going back too far.
Sure.
When you talk, Ndamukong Suh was dominant that year. I always thought Haloti Ngata was even more unblockable, but he played an interior. I mean, they sort of
played. Suh was a DT.
Yeah.
Haloti Ngata was amazing.
Was he before?
Haloti Ngata was before Ndamukong Suh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ngata was like the 03, 04, 05 era, I want to say. I'll go look and verify that.
That's since 2000.
Well, no, I know.
Yeah.
But Haloti Ngata. The numbers do not equate what Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I know the numbers don't, but...
Well, I want to carry this over because the options I put up, and then also, like, I think he's got something right here that a lot of people just stubbornly don't move off of, and I was one of these people. I moved off of it, so I want to talk about that on the other side. More college football talk next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back in. We got some college football dealings we'll get into coming up. We're talking college football right now. And crunch time in the National Football League. Keith Smith at 8 a.m. Stat or Story 8:15, so just around the corner. If you're just tuning in, good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. Dirt and Sprague here. Dirt out. We were talking about this ranking list because it's that kind of time of the year. We got the Olympics going on as well. We talked a little bit about that in the first hour of the radio program. But Bill Conley, a good friend of the show, he put a list together of the top 25 college football players since 2000. I'll read a few thoughts at the Vancouver 4 text line, which is at 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. We're also on YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. 99.5 HD2 and, of course, the Odyssey app. So the top three players are number one, Ndamukong Suh. Number two, Baker Mayfield. Number three, Cam Newton. Vince Young was fourth. Ed Reed was five.
Okay.
Tebow was six. Reggie Bush was seventh.
I'd have Reggie higher.
Bryant McKinney was eighth. Joe Burrow was number nine. Smoking that Joe Burrow. Larry Fitz was number 10. Now, you can go through this list, and you see a lot of names that you're familiar with that had great college careers and mostly were amazing NFL players. Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald. They are also on this list.
Jadeveon Clowney on that list?
Jadeveon Clowney is not. I think most people think Jadeveon Clowney was good, but not quite what we thought he was going to be. Is that a fair thing?
Yeah.
He had the hit against Michigan, but Deshaun Watson I thought was a little low. Like, let's get away from the creepy stuff.
Yeah.
He was 16th. Kind of turned the Clemsoning term around, beat Bama. Like, yeah, you know. Had great years statistically.
Yeah, but then he got beat out by a freshman.
No, he didn't. Deshaun?
Didn't Trevor Lawrence?
You're thinking of Kelly Bryant.
Oh.
He was the heir apparent to Deshaun after Deshaun went to the NFL and then Lawrence came in.
I thought Trevor Lawrence came in.
No, Watson he left on top, went to the NFL. Kyler was number 18, which is interesting. Number 19, there's a couple of these things I would argue with Bill Conley about. Not like argue, but debate with him on.
Did Mariota make the list?
Devontae Smith should not be in the top 25. Devontae Smith was a good college football player. I know he won the Heisman. It was also a weird year of the Heisman.
I don't know. Any of those Alabama running backs, I mean, their offensive lines were just...
Well, Devontae's a wide receiver.
Or a wide receiver, yeah, but...
I thought you said you were back on our time zone. Are you okay today?
No.
Lamar was number 20. I'd put him higher just because, my God, Louisville football.
Yeah, he was a one-man wrecking crew at Louisville.
Was unbelievable. I'm not as big a Justin Blackmon guy, but I also won't misremember. He was really good and really well thought of when he played. Mariota did not make the top 25. This is where you kind of start to... I disagree.
He won a Heisman. The numbers he put up, what he...
Yeah, Mariota not being top 25. Come on.
He was pretty special in college.
I thought he was remarkable. McCaffrey isn't in the top 25 of this list. You can go back and forth on some other names, but Mariota and McCaffrey to me were like Jonathan Taylor. You can give me stats. Christian McCaffrey was better than Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
I watched him play. John Latay was a good player. Really good. Wisconsin also turned out a running back like every single year. McCaffrey was... Stanford's had some good backs. McCaffrey was just completely different and probably should have won the Heisman over Derrick Henry. I'll say this. The Reggie Bush thought is not you saying he should be higher. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I also am a big Reggie Bush guy, but I'll be willing to say this. I think Bill Conley got this right. I thought about this a lot yesterday when I read this article, and I'm going through and I'm seeing why he has certain guys ranked where, and I didn't agree with all of them. Reggie Bush, to me, is the benefit of two things. One, they took his Heisman. It's just like you take a guy's trophy for the dumbest of reasons, you instantly build support for that guy. Two, he played on absolutely ridiculous, loaded USC teams. Now, look, I'm not, that doesn't mean he's not top five or whatever. We can agree to disagree on some of this stuff, semantics of where they're at placement-wise. Reggie Bush, and he had, like, obviously the monster game that everybody remembers probably the most, is the Fresno State game. In that game, he had 294 rushing yards, 68 receiving yards, and 151 return yards. That was one game against Fresno State. We all, Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, we all have terrifying memories of Reggie Bush, the football player. And he was absolutely a cheat code. He was also a cheat code for a stacked team that, like, he benefited greatly from. That was a mutual beneficial relationship there where he was amazing, talented. He also gets the highlight package. It's hard to beat the highlight package, man. It just is. And so, like, I get putting Reggie Bush higher. Dirt, I actually got to give Dirt credit on this. He's been making this case for a long time. Ndamukong Suh being able to win Heisman at defensive tackle, which he should have in 09. We'd never seen that. Like, that would have been the only example of a guy of that position having that kind of impact, and he was more than worthy of it. So we can nitpick over who's 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., or who's left off this list the way Mariota is, which is ridiculous to me. I think Conley got number one right. I think it's Ndamukong Suh. He doesn't play a sexy position. He doesn't have quite the highlight package. Like, he doesn't have a stop and start run on the sidelines the way Reggie does against Fresno State. And you can parse out who goes where. Maybe Baker isn't number two. Maybe Vince should be higher. Maybe Reggie should be higher. Maybe Ed Reed. I'll stick up for Bill Conley at number one. I think he got number one right. I do think Ndamukong Suh's 09 season, along with his career at Nebraska, is the best in college football since 2000.
I think when you have a defensive player that is as dominant as that, and when they rise up, and the only reason they're not the number one draft pick is just because teams are desperate for quarterbacks. But he was almost unanimously the best, like, talent, the best player on the board.
He was unbelievable. I mean, if you go back and look at that Nebraska team, they had some good players, but, like, he was a one-man wrecking crew at defensive tackle.
I know.
How often does a defensive tackle in that sport kind of carry a whole group? Now, there have been some great defensive tackles. You mentioned Haloti Ngata at Oregon, and, you know, Aaron Donald is on this list in the top, I think, 15. But to do what Sue did that one year at Nebraska, I think it's one of those, we don't quite give it enough credit, and because we don't have as exciting or flashy highlight package as Reggie or Vince or fill-in-the-blank offensive player, it's not necessarily a pick that would get the most consensus. An update on that poll question, by the way, I put it at Dirt and Spray. You can go find it. Of the four, who is the best player since 2000? Ndamukong Suh is tied for second. Reggie Bush is far and away number one at this at 54.4. Cam Newton is dead last at 10.6. Very interesting results there. And then Tebow and Suh are tied at 17.5%. on the poll question. It's a lot of fun debating these things about who the best player and how do you quantify it and what about the team, what about the surrounding cast and the talent and all that stuff. But I thought Bill Conley, who he puts lists like this together, which are supposed to be fun. It's off-season banter. Ndamukong Suh, number one. I am largely with people, though, that are texting in. Marcus Mariota is a top 25 player since 2000.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing with that? Won a Heisman at Oregon. He took Oregon from what they were, and they were really good prior to him, elevated it to a level where we all thought they were going to win the national championship, especially when it was Cardale Jones. Unfortunately for them, they come up a little short, but ultimately Marcus Mariota not being in the top 25, it just seems like a stretch. Seems a bit ridiculous, in my opinion. A little more college football to get into coming up. Got some NFL I want to talk about at 7:45, and Keith Smith's going to join the radio program at the top of the hour. We'll ask him about Jerami Grant and the Lakers. Is there a team that makes a lot of sense for Ant Simons? Did the signing yesterday of Devontae Graham indicate something could be looming with the Blazers in an Anthony Simons trade? And status story, all of that is around the corner and next. Some good points at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Got to remember that Ndamukong Suh was being double-teamed with those numbers. Yeah, that's what makes it even more remarkable. It's why I really think he is number one. Reggie definitely has the highlights, the numbers. He had a great career. I don't think debating who's won through whatever is really that negative on the player. I just don't think it is Reggie Bush. I think the highlights make us remember or feel like it's Reggie Bush, and he was remarkable. But Ndamukong Suh's year in 09 was great, too. Interesting one here. I was going to talk about a former player in our area, and I saw this text at the Vancouver Ford text line. Y'all talking college football, and I used to be so excited this time of year, but I'm a Beav and season ticket holder, and I couldn't be less excited about this coming season. It stinks. Went to OSU, had tickets since 08. This is the first year my passion just isn't there. Hopefully, as we get closer to games, my passion returns. I was going to bring up DJ, who is now at Florida State. I wanted to talk about that text very quickly, because we were asked a mail sack question yesterday on the program about OSU. And I don't know, I never really know if these phone numbers, are they Duck fans, Husky fans, Coug fans, or are they Beaver fans? And one of them was like, is it realistic to suggest OSU could start 1-4? And we went through the schedule, and they're on the road at San Diego State week two. They should be 1-0. You play Idaho State at home, you lose that game, you have bigger concerns. But, like, you should be 1-0, theoretically. And then everything after that, like, I don't have a lot of hope they'll beat Oregon, but at San Diego State, I don't know. Let's see what that is. Is that still Brady Hoke? I think that's still Brady Hoke. And then Purdue's at home. I think Purdue has more talent than you, but it's a home game, and I'm not going to act like I haven't seen Reese or upsets before in my life. My point is, I understand the conference stuff, the realignment stuff, the financials of all of this. Like, I get it. I talk to people at OSU, and they'll be honest with you about some of the stuff. This is dark, tough stuff that they're dealing with down there. I can't tell anybody how to fan. What I would say is, just don't worry about some of this other stuff. The season is just about here. Camp is about to open on the 1st. We'll start kind of diving in more and more with our local teams. Is OSU going to be in the Big 12? I don't know, man. Is the ACC going to lose Florida State and Clemson? It feels that way. So what does that mean? Does that include Oregon State? Maybe. The point is, you were left. You were left. Don't worry about too much of the future. Just focus on the year-to-year, the game-to-game. If you worry too much about what's going to happen 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, I think it's definitely within the realm of reason to say that that's when the passion kind of dies, when you feel like you're not a part of it. And you're not a part of it right now in a big way. But go in this year and just be fired up and hope Trent Bray keeps that team afloat, has a good year for his first year, and makes you feel confident about what they're building and what they are. And if those butts are in seats, if the passion's there from the fan base, like, that can change things in a way that you don't know. It also couldn't, but who cares? That's not now. That's not here. So just, you'll see what OSU is this year. I'm excited to see what Trent Bray and company have cooked up. in the new era of football where they're restarting with talent and the coaching staff?
Well, no question. First of all, Brady Hoke has moved on.
Oh, okay.
San Diego State hired the offensive coordinator at Colorado for Dion.
Oh, the guy that he basically took play calling duties away from? Sean Lewis, okay. So, I liked Sean Lewis's offense, and then he just basically benched him.
So he was a head coach at Kent State, then went to Colorado with Dion, and now I think Brady Hoke hung it up.
Okay.
I think he decided it was time.
Okay.
It's always a dilemma amongst fans of worrying about what you're not versus supporting the kids and the coaches that stayed and the ones that have come and have embraced whatever the current situation is and are trying to make the best of it. It's not their fault that any of this happened. So yes, do you want to support them and try, you know, they need to win games. However they do it.
Yes.
Them winning games week to week and forcing the media to pay attention to them is the best way for them to get to whatever future destination they are hopeful of getting to.
I think this person, too, isn't saying that they're not going to cheer for him or go to the games. I just think I get the passion part of it. I get how
this is a kick in the junk for sure. Is there a little wind taken out of your sails with everything, seeing what's going on, you know, 30 miles down the road? Absolutely.
Yeah, but you can make an argument that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Does it especially hurt this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they start 4-1. You know, maybe you start 6-1. Yeah. Like, you go look at the schedule, and again, they lost a lot of talent. I'm not trying to fool anybody here. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. But if they start out really well, and you look competent, you're exciting to watch, you're not boring, your coach isn't in over his head, you know, that's all the optimism you can possibly get out of this coming season. I do this too much in my own personal life, like taking sports away. Therapy Tuesday is great because sometimes I talk about how I do this. I worry about things that haven't happened. I'm constantly, my motor works differently. Everybody's motor works differently. Yeah. I think about things that I don't need to think about. I worry about things that never end up happening. And so, like, it's pretty normal, I think, for everybody in different ways to get ahead of themselves. And I get that it doesn't feel great right now because of all the conference stuff. But, you know, this team is here. This team's going to be running out of that tunnel and hoping that Reser Stadium is as full as it possibly can be and just looking to put together the best possible season for themselves to make people feel better about where this is going. Certainly, you do not want to have a sub-500 season. That gets into a different conversation.
Yeah.
So,
I think the biggest thing, going back to something we discussed yesterday, is the athletic department and the marketing people and the football people, is their mindset of let's figure out and do whatever we have to do to fill up Reser Stadium and make this environment, because if you can find a way to get that place filled and make it an environment, one, I think the players will feed off of that and that will help them. But two, if it looks like it's a fun place to go on a Saturday afternoon and take in college football, and oh, by the way, you find out, you know, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to try to get in, I think that could snowball on itself a little bit as well.
A ruckus environment, you beat a Purdue at home, and like it just looks like it hasn't lost much juice aesthetically on the C-dub. Yeah, I think that can go a long way. DJ is reportedly having a good start at Florida State. Now, they're diving into fall ball.
Would you expect to hear anything else from a coach that needs to?
Well, can they repeat? Can they win the ACC with DJ? I'm very weary of the DJ stuff.
I don't know.
I like him. He seems like a good dude, but we watched it.
Yeah.
We kind of all feel the same, don't we?
Yeah. There were some hold your breath moments.
You know, the one thing I kind of overlook with him.
And they lost a couple of big time receivers.
Yeah, they did. They're still actually pretty excited about the receiving core coming into camp, I read yesterday. But The one thing I kind of overlooked, I did this. He had that game against Notre Dame where he filled in and he actually ended up having a great game. They just lost to the Irish. He kind of had an underrated, I thought, underrated Civil War. Now, given like circumstance, road game, hostile environment, enemy territory, coach has basically abandoned ship at this point, but he's on the sidelines wearing the headset. I thought in that moment he played relatively well, even if the numbers don't bear out that that was his best game of his Oregon State one-off season career. I don't know if I'm putting as much stock in the Florida State repeating it as ACC champs, but also some of that is Mike Norvell. Like, we get to see kind of Norvell and how tested and how much he took away from last year's undefeated season where they got, you know, hosed out of the playoff, yeah, winning their conference, going undefeated because they lost their quarterback at the end of the year. Has Norvell taken a step? Because reportedly Bama was eyeing him and DeBoer. And I thought Greg Byrne at the press conference kind of gave away a little bit of a secret of, we kind of wanted Norvell. Like, maybe Norvell, little edged Kalen DeBoer there, more familiar with the recruiting grounds.
It's always hard to follow the legend.
It is. And Norvell got seriously paid from Florida State. But
yeah,
that conference sucks. I don't know if I can trust Mario in Miami this year. Dabo didn't touch anything in the portal. Is UNC going to come back and be really, really good? Is it Louisville? I don't know, but that conference sucks.
It'll be funny because we will get an excellent sense of the depth of that conference if and when we start watching Stanford and Cal get into them. If they start getting wins.
Stanford just goes in there and wins seven games. Like, oh, I don't know about that, man.
Wilcox wins eight or nine.
Is NC State going to be a sleeper for that conference? I mean, like, it feels like Norvell should really build on that momentum. DJ is their starting quarterback. We'll see how that goes for him. All right, crunch time coming up next, and then Keith Smith at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time, brought to you, The Fan, by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.99 a month. Beaverton Aloha Division Vancouver. Find all the great info at crunch.com. Keith Smith's going to join us at the top of the hour, Swag. We'll talk a little Blazers with old Keith Smith. Jeremy Grant, the Lakers. Huh? We get two firsts out of that?
If we get two firsts, then great. Just get it done.
I'm going to laugh if they get two firsts for Jeremy Grant.
I will laugh at Rob Pelinka.
What a dumb idea that would be. We'll get to that. And Ant Simons, is there a team that makes sense for Anfernee Simons? We've all just penciled in Orlando. He's from there. They're kind of looking for a guy that can create and get his own shot and score. But does it make sense for them to leverage a whole lot of their future? Does Ant Simons like move the needle enough for them to contend in the East? Or are they better off just building this how they're building it? I find him an interesting player. We all know what his skill set is. He's got a little CJ in him. There's a little CJ there, and I just, what is that? Is he a piece that's the number two on a team that takes you further, or is it frustratingly he's your number three option, and some nights he's your best scorer, and some nights he has 15 points? I don't know. I don't know what to make. We'll have Keith Smith at 8 a.m. We got Statter Story at 8:15. It's crunch time in the National Football League. We got a football game tomorrow.
Yes, we do.
My God, it's here.
It's here.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah. Not necessarily about the teams that are playing in it, and we heard Caleb Williams isn't going to play and all that sort of stuff.
They're not going to play any of their first team guys.
I am most curious to see in most of preseason how this new kickoff rule is going to work. And how many tweaks they make to it before the regular season starts.
Sometimes I don't like that we don't prepare enough for the show. Like, I won't know what Dirt's going to bring up. And he'd be like, hey, what do you think of this guy and that guy? And I'm like, well, I would have been nice to research this. That is hilarious because I didn't send you a show sheet.
No.
I actually, that was one of my crunch time things, is tomorrow's biggest thing. I like seeing the guys run out there. You see the gear on, you see the logos, you get excited, but then nobody plays. It's the kickoff rule.
Yes.
It's what is this? How is it
going to
look?
This is going to be the most significant change on the field, how things look this season.
I will go over the kickoff rules probably more tomorrow when Dirt's back, since the game is tomorrow.
Well, we might
night.
Even wait until Friday.
To just get our thoughts on how it
looks. Because we got a little different show tomorrow. We'll talk about that later. But let's just go see. We know it's different.
Yeah.
But it might be easier to explain it to everybody after they watch the game and then visually have something to reference.
I think that is probably the most realistic, exciting thing about tomorrow's game.
Yes.
This game usually sucks.
That and their discussions with the Hall of Fame class that's going to be enshrined.
Yeah, sometimes those are good interviews and sometimes you're like, okay, can we just...
That's a good class this year.
It is a good class this year. We'll also go over that tomorrow as well. I was looking at camp stuff. I've been diving in a lot of NFL because, I mean, I'm just a junkie for the NFL. I know we were doing the Diamond Project, but I've jokingly been saying, can we abandon that and do the Gridiron Project? Yeah. The NFL more likely to have the money to expand and want to expand on the West. You know, it'd be great. Big NFL junkie. I found it odd to read that the Tampa Bay Bucks have the 8th best odds to make the playoffs in the NFC. And I feel like they're the least talked about team that made the divisional round last year.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk about the
Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, I wonder if that's just Vegas on the odds that there are 5 or 6 teams that 7. Made the playoffs the previous year that won't make it in the coming year. And you start, okay, which teams are, you know.
It's a process of elimination, yeah. Right? You're 6 new teams every year in the NFL
playoffs.
I think
that's more formulaic maybe than actually looking at what they have and what's going on there and what their schedule is and that sort of thing.
Well, Jalen McMillan, former UW wide receiver, is reportedly having a good camp. Baker was raving about him yesterday post the practice. A couple questions here. Random Tampa Bay Buck conversation. Did they feel fluky to you last year? Because I went through their schedule and they had some real kind of like, oh, they won that game? Oh, and is Baker going to prove to be the franchise guy? He got his contract. He got paid. Well, for him, is he going to prove to be a franchise guy, or is this the year Tampa takes that step back? Atlanta maybe takes a step forward.
Yeah.
And we go up.
Baker has a real Kirkers quality feel to me.
A hot and cold thing.
Yeah.
But he's a good quarterback.
You're always sort of, in the big games, kind of gripping the arms of your lazy boy there.
Sure.
Waiting for the crucial mistake to happen.
He has a game where you go, what are you doing? And
or
then he has another game.
Or he's just super aggressive for some reason. It's like...
Right.
Dude, your tight end is wide open 8 yards down the field. Why are you
forcing
throwing
that into a double
down?
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does have that quality.
So he has that feel to him.
But it's kind of why I like him, you know? It's a little farvish.
If you're down 10 with 7 minutes to go and a timeout, he's willing to sleaze. He's willing to risk it.
He is willing to risk it.
Every once in a while, I get you a biscuit. And I haven't dove into their schedule. I don't know who their AFC.
Well, I think schedule stuff's kind of stupid. We always assume the schedule means like, hey, you know who's good last year? They have them on the schedule this year. And that's not how that always translates.
Look, if you play the NFC West as opposed to the NFC South. Well, they're in the South, so that's a bad example. But maybe the AFC South. Versus the AFC North, because sure. You're matched up with the division. That certainly has an effect on, okay, are you going to be 9-8 or are you going to be 11-6?
It looks like it's going to be AFC West.
So you have the Chiefs and Chargers, which will pose threats. We don't know.
AFC West. So they got
the Raiders stink, and we don't know. The Broncos should get better as the season goes on. So if you play the Broncos early, I like your chances. If you play them later in the year, we'll see.
They're just an interesting team in the sense of like they won their division, and we just like kind of move on from them. And maybe it's the Falcons with Kirkers this year. Another one I'll get to a couple before we get to Keith Smith. The Jets, have you seen these clips of Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers talking on the sidelines?
No. I
ooh, they're dicey. Oh, I got some Jets takes that I've been giving out, and I'm kind of holstering even more because, man, we all want to anoint the Jets because Aaron Rodgers
I am not
years
among
old.
That. I hope they get clobbered on. Don't they have the Monday night game? Or is it the Sunday night game? I think it's the Monday night game. The opening week one. I thought ESPN made a ginormous deal.
I mean,
out of
we know that they're going to be in prime. I think they got like 7 primetime
games. I hope they get clobbered.
The Monday night game is, yeah, it's Jets at Niners.
Yeah.
That'll be a good test for them, though. We'll at least get an early look at it, but it's not going great. And Seahawks camp, another team kind of flying under the radar a little bit. New coach. Young defensive mind that everybody respects.
They're actually one that I'm going to be curious about in the preseason. I know the starters aren't going to play, but I just, again, a coach, I want to see.
I want to see what the defense is looking like.
What the defense looks like. I want to see, are they really going to open up the offense and whip it around? Or, you know, because we were there with the Pete Carroll who, you know, out of the USC wanted to run it and establish the run and be physical and then play action off of it. How different will they look?
Did you see Rashad Penny retired yesterday?
More coming up in Stat and Story.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't look at any numbers. I just saw a notice that Rashad Penny retired. I'm like, well, that was an interesting first-round pick by the Seahawks a couple years ago. But Reek Woolen, rebound year. We'll have to see if he can get better. Witherspoon systematically might fit the McDonald system perfectly. And they got the Murphy kid on defensive line. Linebacker seems like a very questionably weak area for them. But Geno says, I'm still getting better at his age. So we'll have to wait and see. Also, the Grub offense. What is that? There's a lot going on in NFL camps. You don't have enough time, I think, to dive into all of it. But
no, there are some preseason places I'm more curious about than others.
Me too. Loaded final hour of the radio program. We will get to Statter Story at 8:15, but we started with Keith Smith, Spotrac, Front Office Sports. Jeremy Grant to the Lakers seem realistic. And who would the candidates be in the Ant Simons trade considerations? Keith Smith joins us. Daily Ticker next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.